Hey, this is Rich Wilkerson. I'm the pastor of VU Church in Miami, Florida, and this is our podcast. Thank you so much for checking it out today. I hope it encourages you and inspires you. Here's today's message.
We've been walking through, week by week, the book of Hebrews, and what we've quickly learned is that this book, it was written to a specific community. It was written to a community that used to be Jewish, but now they've decided to follow Jesus. They're Christ followers. And maybe like some people in this room, whenever they converted to Christianity, they kind of thought that their life was going to be easier, that all their problems were going to go away. But right now in this moment, they are facing persecution. They're facing some storms, they're facing some trials. And the author of Hebrews is telling them to persevere, that they don't need to go back to their old religious system that caused them to do acts to receive atonement for their sins. No, Jesus came, and when he died and he offered himself as a perfect, sinless sacrifice, he once and for all washed away all of our sins. And it's been so cool to watch as Hebrews has reminded these people, we've been reminded ourselves. Just last week, I had some people over to my house, and we're talking about, in this collection, persevering. And we were over there at my house, and we were having a conversation. And they said they've been going to VU Church just for about 4 weeks. And their first week, Pastor Rich was preaching a message called, I'm Not Over It. I'm Still Not Over It. And when they walked in that day, for the first time, their marriage was on the rocks. They were probably gonna split up. They were giving up on what God had given them. But after hearing the message, I'm still not over it, they decided they were gonna stay in it, that they were gonna persevere, that they were not gonna give up. And that's what I love about opening up the Word of God. This is not a service, it's not just a program. This is a catalyst for change. And each and every week in this collection of talks, we've seen people being encouraged to persevere. So we've been walking through. Last week, Pastor Rich preached an incredible message. And he talked about in chapter 12 of Hebrews that we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Sometimes we're in this church and we're at VU. Maybe this is the first church that you've ever been a part of. But we can start to think, oh, we invented this. Like, we invented meeting in this way, getting together. We invented like singing awesome songs, but that's not the reality at all. You see, the Church of Jesus Christ has been going strong for 2,000 years. And what he reminded us of is that there's people that came before us that sacrificed and paved the way for us, and now we're standing on their shoulders so that we can achieve all that we've achieved. And they're up in heaven, and they're looking down, telling us, keep up the good work, stand firm, continue to persevere. So this is where we pick up right after talking about this. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Hebrews 12, 28. And it says this, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Somebody say cannot be shaken. Come on, somebody say cannot be shaken. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Today, we're going to have some fun. I just want to talk to you for the next few minutes on this subject, the unshakable kingdom. The unshakable kingdom. Tap your neighbor, say the unshakable kingdom. The unshakable kingdom. Come on, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to open up your word together. Lord, we know that we're two or three are gathered and lifting up your name. There you are also. And God, we're so glad that you're here with us. We want to get to know you better. We're here for one reason, and that's for you. Pray that you open up our hearts, open up our ears to what you would have to say to us. We love you, Lord. We're believing that you can. We're believing that you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody set? Amen. Come on, everybody set. Hey, if you love Jesus, one more time, can you give him a huge shout of praise in this place? Man, I love the 715. We're going to have some fun tonight. Hey, a few years ago, really, I wanted to tell you a story because a few years ago, my life, it dramatically changed forever. My life changed because it changed the way that I look at the very ground that I walk on. It really changed the way that I look at my friends, look at my family, look at experiences that I have. You see, a few years ago, for the very first time, I went deep sea fishing. You're like, what are you talking about? Deep sea fishing, man, I was excited. You guys have grown up in Florida, probably from Miami with the ocean. Now, I'm not used to all this stuff. And I was having the opportunity to go with my boys to go deep sea fishing. I was excited. I had some faith that God was going to use me to catch the very biggest shark that the world has ever seen. And so that day, I remember that I showed up to the marina, and I showed up, you know, I wasn't playing around, okay? I'm going to go deep sea fishing. I'm going to do it right. I had the outfit on. I had my Sperry Docksiders on. I had my khaki shorts on. I had my hat with the fishing, a hook on the bill. You know what I'm talking about? Because if you look good, you feel good. And if you feel good, you fish good. So you guys didn't know that. I'm trying to help some people in here. So I'm there, I get on the boat, and I'm excited, man. Like, here we go, I'm with the boys, let's do this. And so we get on the boat, and the guide's like, yo, here's what we're about to do. We're about to go not too far out. We're still going to be able to see land here, and we're going to catch some bait. I said, catch some bait? This is awesome. In Louisiana, we just put bacon on the hook. We throw it in. We hope to catch some crawfish, catfish, something. So this is good. It's a good start. So we catch some bait for a few minutes. We're getting ready. And now he says, hey, guys, we're gonna take off to the deep blue sea. And we're going to go and we're going to catch some things that we came here to catch. I said, let's go, Captain. Here we go. So we start driving 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. We're out there. Like, we are out there. And I'm kind of trying to distract myself with talking to a friend. But the second that the captain stopped the boat and put it in park, I look back. And at that moment, I couldn't see land. And no one prepared me for what that was going to feel like. And it was at that particular moment that I realized your boy was not called for deep sea fishing. Man, I started having this feeling in my gut. I'm like, this ain't right. Something's wrong here. So I asked my boys, I'm like, yo, isn't there supposed to be some type of like medicine you were supposed to give me before we came out here? Dramamine, something? They're like, nah, you're fine. You're a man. I'm like, cool. I don't feel fine, but here we go. Let's keep going. So at that moment, when I was just feeling at my worst, I look over and one of my best friends comes out of the cabin with like a 2-foot sub. Like 2-foot Italian sub. I'm like, bro, this couldn't be a worse time for me to see you just chowing down on some food. And this spurred me to do something. It spurred me to walk over to the side of the boat. And it put my head over, not just to look at the view, but the Lord wanted me to get free of some things. He was dealing with me. And the thing about this freedom is it just kept coming, and it wasn't just the freedom. It's just free. I was just getting free out there. And anyway, after about 30 minutes, it was over. My friends are catching fish. You're having a good time. You all right, Dakota? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm like, boys, I'm going to go down to the bottom of the cave. I'm just going to take a quick nap. That quick nap lasted about 3 hours. I woke up when we got to land without casting one single line. Ladies and gentlemen, deep sea fishing is not of Jesus, it's of the devil. I'm not called to it. But what I can tell you is maybe you've never been deep sea fishing, but you've probably been in a situation similar to mine. When you're out in the middle of the ocean, you're out in the middle of a new city, you're in the middle of a new season, and you're looking for something to give you comfort. You're looking for a friend. You're looking for a family member. You're looking for a community, but land is nowhere in sight. The ground beneath you is just rocking back and forth. And as it rocks, man, it's just making you doubt if you are gonna make it or not. And all you want to do is you just want to stop. You want to go down to the bottom of the boat and you want to give up on the God dream that God has placed on the inside of your life. You say, it's fine. I'm cool with my friends. I'm cool with my family living out what God has called them to do. But this is too hard. This season is too difficult. But I'm here to remind some people at the 7:15 at the iTech Auditorium that God has not called you to live in that condition. See, regardless of the things that are happening around you, regardless of the things that are happening to you, you cannot let it shake the purpose out of you. Do you believe that? See, God has given us an unshakable kingdom. What's a kingdom? A kingdom is a land. A kingdom is a territory that's ruled by a king or a queen. And the way that you view your king will dictate the way that you live in the kingdom. You see, our king is not just any king. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. But some of us, maybe we're walking around right now and we're feeling a little condemned. Why? Because we look at God like a judge. Some of us are walking around right now, we're fearful because we believe that God is upset with us, that he is mad at us. But my friends, whenever you have the right perspective of the king that rules over our kingdom, you'll have life and life to the full. You'll begin to live in the purpose that God has called for you. You see, our king, he's undefeated. He's never lost. He created this earth. He created the heavens. And the beautiful thing is that he cares for you and me. He cares for you and me. So what we're gonna do today is we're gonna learn how we walk into this unshakable kingdom. I believe that God has called you and me to live a life with unshakable faith. And what I love about Hebrews is up until this point, we've gotten some really great doctrine. We've gotten some really great instruction. But the end of Hebrews 12 and Hebrews 13, it gives us practical ways that we can walk in this unshakable faith. So together, we're going to go through. If you can start again, we're going to go back to Hebrews 12, 28. I'm going to read this verse one more time. It says this, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe." See, the first step to living a life of faith that is unshakable is creating time in your life to seek. Time to seek. Somebody say, time to seek. See, the contentment that you're looking for in your relationship with Christ is never gonna come with just hanging out with God one time for an hour and a half on a Sunday night. Your contentment with God and your contentment with Jesus is gonna come when you carve some time out of your schedule and you say, "Lord, I'm gonna seek your face. Lord, I'm gonna worship you." We have to have time to seek. But what motivates us to seek? What motivates us to worship? It's being thankful. Somebody say thankful. Thankful. It's being thankful for what? For who he is and the gifts that he has given us. Have you reminded yourself recently of who God is? Have you reminded yourself of the gifts that he's given you? Some of us, man, going to do our devotional time, it's tough. But I think it could be a lot easier if we got better at reminding of ourselves of what he's done for us. I believe it would be a lot easier if we started to remind ourselves that everything that we have is from who? It's from him. And you can just start to count your blessings. God, thank you that you've given me a family. God, thank you that you've given me a house over my head. God, thank you that you've placed me in a community like VU Church that pushes me and pulls me to purpose. God, thank you that regardless of how many things you have going, you still have time for me. God, thank you that no matter how far I run, you never give up on me. God, thank you that even when I've given up on you, you never give up on me. God, thank you for doing what I could not do for myself. God, thank you for sending your one and only son before I even knelt my knee before you and said, "I give my life to you." He chose you. We gotta be thankful. Because if we're thankful, it's gonna push us to worship. We gotta be thankful and it's gonna push us to worship. But worship how? With reverence and awe. With reverence and awe. And I love these two words because it's not two words that we use very often, right? If you revere something, it's not familiar to you at all. But some of us, we're starting to get familiar with God, and so it's making it tough for us to focus on God. Have you ever been around someone that you really respect, that you really admire? Man, when they walk into the room, you're focused on them. For me, my brother's a singer, and one time he got to open up for Jordan Sparks. And Jordan Sparks was not like my favorite artist, but whenever she sang, "Tell me how I'm supposed to breathe with no air," I was like, "Oh, Jesus is here." And my wife's name is Blair, so I'm like, "Tell me how I'm supposed to be without Blair." Oh, You know what I'm saying? Jordan Sparks, man, she crushed this set. She destroyed it. And then afterwards, we got to go backstage briefly and to have a conversation with her. And when I was in that conversation, man, after I saw how she could perform, I was just focused on the conversation. I wasn't on my phone. I wasn't distracted. I was just listening intently to what she said. How many of you know being present and focused are two different things? Being present and being focused are two different things. And all the ladies said amen. Amen. Us guys can get distracted, but it makes it more interesting. Squirrel, you know what I mean? It's like... But what we have to do, me and you, we have to, say it with me, find our focus. Here we go, ready? Find our focus. We have to find our focus. When we're seeking God, we have to find our focus. We have to focus on all that He is trying to tell us. We can't just check off a box whenever we halfway read a devotional. We can't just check a box whenever we come in here and we just read the words off a screen in the back during worship. No, worship has to do with seeking God. And let me tell you, whenever you seek God, you will find Him. Whenever you focus on seeking God, you will always find Him. But some of us, we're not too excited about hanging out with God right now because we've lost our awe and we've gotten familiar. But man, God is like the greatest TV show of all time that never ends. And every day there's a new episode for me and you to watch whenever we have time with Him. But you and I are getting familiar because we choose to watch the same episodes over and over again, living off last year's word, living off last year's reading. Man, I don't know about you. I want to step into a new season. I want a fresh fire. I want a fresh touch. I don't want the same old thing. No, God has new mercies for me every morning. And I want to show up and I want to seek His face and get all that He has for me. But it's going to take us restoring our reverence. It's going to take us restoring our awe. So I'd encourage you, if you want to walk in this unshakable faith, He will start to reveal how you walk into that as you make time to seek Him. Come on, say somebody say time to seek. Awesome. Time to seek. But also time to serve, time to serve. And we've been talking about it a little bit, but it's pretty insane to me to be a part of a church that has 600 people serving each and every Sunday. Come on, one more time. Can we put our hands together for every servant leader? And over 100 people in the growth track today wanting to get on team. I love a church that's excited to serve. And I believe that as we're chasing this unshakable faith, we have to make time to serve. We're walk through the text here. We'll go to Hebrews 13, 1 through 2. It says this, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. I love this verse because it says hospitality to strangers. Don't forget to show hospitality. I don't know about you, but I have some people that come to mind when I think of the word hospitality. I think of those people that you go to their parties and they always have the dishware to match the season. It's like palm trees for summer, turkeys for Thanksgiving, pumpkins for Halloween. They're just really good at throwing parties. But I think of one person, and you might think of this person in your life. My grandmother is the most hospitable person in my life. Frances Duran. Man, she makes the best gumbo. She makes the best jambalaya. She makes the best chocolate pie. And going to her house for a meal, it's just different. You know what I'm saying? You know when you go to grandma's house, it's just a little different. I just love going to her house because she's not just preparing food, but she's there to host me, to encourage me, and to lift me up. And I learned so much from my grandmother growing up because it was never that my grandmother had the fanciest house is the reason that I thought she was hospitable. In fact, being hospitable is not about resources or how much you give away at all. It's really just about a spirit that you carry. It's really about how you care for people. Are you genuinely looking out for their best interest? And what I loved about hanging out with my grandmother and learning from her is whenever she gave us a meal as a family, she would always pull up a few extra chairs. And what were those extra chairs for? They were for strangers, for different people that she had just met, maybe in the church, maybe at the store, that she wanted to bring into her home to love on them and to encourage them. And man, I get fired up about this, because isn't this what church is supposed to be like? Isn't church supposed to be a home that you bring people in and you make them feel encouraged and you speak life into them? That's why we put those invite cards on your chairs every week. Why do we put those Sunday invites on your card, on your seat? It's because we want to make it as easy as possible for you to reach out to people that you don't know well, so that we can bring them right here into the iTech auditorium, and we can love on them, and we can host them, and we can encourage them and say, you have people in your corner. Come on, can you put your hands together if that's the type of church that we want to be? See, hospitality is all about being inclusive. And I think that this verse is fighting against being exclusive in our communities of church. So I think as we're striving to be all that God has called us to be, and we're finding time to serve, we need to remember to reach out, not just to the people that we love, but to the people we don't know well. Let's keep reading together. We'll go to verse 3. It says this: continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who were mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. See, when I read this verse, when I read verse 3, I thought, oh, the author of Hebrews is trying to get you and me to have empathy. They're trying to just get us to feel what each other are going through. If you're going through a hard time, I'm going through a hard time. But what I learned by studying this verse and studying this text is that I think he was trying to go even a step further than that. See, if we go back to verse 1, it says this: keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And this word loving that's used in Hebrews is an ancient Greek term, and it's called philia. And this word philia, it means brotherly love. And so what I discovered is, no, the author is not just trying to get us to have empathy for one another. No, it's deeper than that. He's trying to get us to change perspective of how we view one another. He wants us to go from strangers to start to view each other as brothers and sisters. He wants us to have brotherly love. Somebody say brotherly love. For me, I know a little bit about brotherly love because I have 4 older brothers. And my older brothers have an interesting way of showing love. I don't know how many fights that we got in growing up. It was a decent amount, but I do know strongly how many victories that your boy had. I'm defeated, not undefeated. I don't know if you've heard that term. I'm defeated. But here's the deal. At the same time with my brothers, there's a certain different type of love. So those of you who have siblings, man, it's different. You love these people with a different admiration. And even though we may have had our tough times, these are the same people that I love more than anyone, that I've had my best times with, that I laugh the most with. And brotherly love is a time that we're not just on each other's side, but we also care what each other are going through. You see, if one of my brothers found out that your boy was in trouble, if they got a text from my wife and say, hey, Dakota, he got himself in some deep stuff, you need to come help your boy out, they wouldn't text back, sorry, LOL. They wouldn't be texting back like, oh, well, like he's got to help himself out. No, they would be on my back. They would be doing whatever they had to do to help me, to get me out of trouble. They would be feeling my pain. On the other side, my brother D, he goes to VU Church and he goes to the iTech location. If he went to jail like this verse is talking about, man, I would be doing everything that I could to get this man out of prison. Why? Because my boy wouldn't last in jail. Man, I would be asking questions. I would be going to lawyers. I would be raising money. I would be putting that to hashtag free D. I know we got ASAP, but we got to get my boy D out now. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever it takes. But what can we learn from brotherly love? You see, no one has to tell me to have empathy for D. No one has to tell me you need to feel your brother's pain. No, my friends, because I have the perspective that he is my brother, empathy is naturally stirred up in me and I want to help. Man, what if we started to look at our brothers and sisters in Miami like they were our brothers and sisters? Man, I think we'd make time to serve. I think we'd make time to reach out. That's what Giving Backpacks is all about. That's what I Love My City is all about. So today, let's just not have empathy. Let's go deeper than that. Let's change our perspective of the way that we view our city. What are some practical ways that you can serve people? Well, number one, you can serve on team here on Sunday. You haven't been to the Grow Track, man, go to the Grow Track. It's all about you getting connected to this house. And the other way is you can serve at I Love My City. Man, we had an incredible time this past Sunday. Gave 700 backpacks away. What are we talking about? But it's your time to serve. And I love that our church, it makes it super easy for us to step into those opportunities. I will move quickly along here. So it's time to seek, time to serve. But thirdly, it's time to secure. Somebody say time to secure. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your lives free of the love and money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. See, I find it interesting that the author, he starts with telling us to be content with what we have. And then he goes to, don't have the love of money. And then he goes to one of my favorite promises that we hear in all the Bible, and that's that he will never leave us or forsake us. And for me, whenever I first read this verse, I was intrigued on how it connected. Why would he talk about contentment? Why would he talk about love of money and then say, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you? Because it's a matter of security. You see, so many people in our lives and this world right here in Miami have a love of money, not just because they love money, but because they want to be secure. They believe if they make enough money, they can achieve security. But my friends, what the Bible is telling us right now is no amount of money that we have is going to give us security. We'd be chasing something that we already are given to as believers. You see, secure your satisfaction to the Savior, because money is a resource, not your eternal security. Not your eternal security. Money is a tool, but it's not something that gives you security. For me, when I first moved to Miami, one time I had a friend invite me out to this hotel pool. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, we have a lot of great hotels in Miami Beach. I'm excited to hang. You staying at the hotel? Do you have a friend? He's like, when I get there, he's like, no, I just walk in. I'm like, you just walked in here? You're not staying here? Yeah. I'm just hanging out for the day. For him, he had the most beautiful, content day. For me, because I was not secure, I could not be content. I'm like, those waiters, they're huddling up over there. They're about to come arrest us right now. They're gonna make a civilian's arrest. Even on Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you see, security has to be met before contentment can be met. And so for us, the Bible is trying to tell us, hey, don't put your security in money. It will never give you that anyway. Instead, put your security in the one thing that you can count on, the one thing that loves you, the one thing that has your back, the one thing that will never leave you or never forsake you, and that's Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we have a time to be secure. Money can provide opportunity, but God provides security. We have a time to seek, a time to serve, a time to secure, but also we have a time to sow. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Somebody say imitate.
Imitate.
It says imitate their faith. Here at VU, one of our working habits is we imitate, innovate, evaluate, and repeat. Why? Sometimes before you can find your own voice, sometimes you have to be an echo. Sometimes you have to be an echo. And whatever you're doing in life, so many times we love what? We love a good reference. I love to hear a principle, but it helps me understand it a little bit more if someone's in front of me and they're living it out. Helps me understand generosity is my privilege when I see 500 people show up on a Saturday and give of their time and their efforts and their resources. It helps me understand. My freshman year of college, I was out at Abilene Christian University. Abilene is really known for muffler shops and Dollar Generals. And it's like 2,000 people in the whole city. But I was out there to play football, and that year I was playing receiver, and I had a cool coach. He would give us great instruction. He would tell us, hey, this is how you run a route. This is how you get open. This is how you're supposed to catch. Hey, this is our playbook. For me, this was helpful. It was helpful to hear the information. But what was even more helpful was, as a freshman, sitting in line each and every day watching one of our senior receivers, Taylor Gabriel, actually live out what he was saying. It was easy for me to understand what Coach was saying about the route when I could see this receiver run the route the way that it was supposed to be run. Taylor Gabriel, he now plays for the Chicago Bears, and he was incredible. And what Taylor did for me is he gave me a vision of the receiver that I could be if I put in the practice, if I put in the work, if I put in the effort, and I actually took the instruction that my coach was giving me. See, Taylor gave me a vision for what my receiver life could be. But church should give you a vision of what your real life could be. And one of the best things about church is it puts you in proximity with incredible leaders. Come on, is anybody thankful for the leadership of this house? For me, that's been one of the most helpful things. Man, so many out there, you're going, man, I'm married. How do I live a great married life in Miami? Man, you have Adrian and Michelle Molina that you can begin to look at. Man, how do I be single and secure in Miami? Man, you have so many incredible servant leaders right here in our house. How do I raise a family in this city? Man, church is gonna put you in proximity with so many people that you can begin to learn. As you imitate their faith, watch as you reap a harvest. It's not that they have all the answers. No, they can just get you going. They can help you take the first step, the second step. And when you get weary, they can encourage you to keep on going. We can use church as a reference because it will give us a vision for our life. Let's continue reading as it's time to sow. It says, Hebrews 13:17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. I love when it says that their work will be a joy and not a burden. We got a lot of incredible people right here in this room. We probably have entrepreneurs, business owners. We have leaders in this room. And what you would know about being a leader is that when it's a joy to lead, it's when people are all going in the right direction. Yeah. It's when people are going the very direction that you're leading them to. But when it's a burden to lead, is when people are all scattered, going in their own directions, having their own vision of what your organization could be. Wow. What I love about VU is we've never forced anybody to be a part of VU Church. In fact, every week we say, hey, you can fill out a card or don't if you don't want to. We're not forcing anyone to be here, but what we would ask is if you're gonna be here, you would be united in the vision of our house. I love our pastors, Pastors Rich and DC. We've talked about them a lot tonight because they are incredible. They're world-class leaders. They can preach anywhere in the world, but instead with their time, they wanna be right here leading a revival in Miami. Amen. But what we can do is we can start to look up at them so much. We can go, oh, it's awesome that they're building their church. Oh, it's awesome that they have their vision. But my friends, if we're gonna become all that God has to become, it can't be their vision. It has to become our vision. It has to become our mission. And one of the things I love about being a part of this church is our mission is to bring people that are far from God close to Him. It's to bring strangers that are outside of the house and bring them inside of the house. And I just believe that we're doing a pretty good job now, but I believe that the more people that come around this vision and say, no, it's not theirs, no, it's ours, no, it's mine, I just believe we're gonna see more. I think we're gonna see God do things that we could never imagine. If we have people come behind the vision of this house and say, no, I'm gonna sow into this place so that we can reap a harvest for what God is trying to do in Miami. Do you believe that? It's time to sow. It's time to sow. How do we sow confidence in our leadership? by showing them that it's our vision and not just theirs. So we have a time to seek as we're looking for this unshakable faith. Am I seeking him daily with reverence and awe? We have a time to serve. Do I view those around me as my brothers and sisters? Time to secure. He will never leave you and never forsake you. Let's know our safety and contentment comes from one place, and that's his. It's a time to sow, getting behind the vision of this house and standing united. I want to read you one more scripture before we get out of here, and it's found in Hebrews 12, verses 26. And this is when the author of Hebrews, right before he tells us that we're going to inherit an unshakable kingdom, I want you to hear what he says. He said, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. This means that all of creation will be shaken or removed so that only unshakable things will remain. My question to you is, there's a lot of kingdoms being built in Miami. There's a lot of kingdoms being built in this world, but there's only one kingdom that's eternal. And that's the unshakable kingdom. And that kingdom, it doesn't have an established date because that kingdom has always been. And anything that's ever been created will also be removed. So my question for you is, what are you investing in? What kingdom are you building? Are you building kingdoms that are building the moment, or are you building kingdoms that are building eternity? Some of us want an unshakable faith, and I know I'm up here and I'm talking about different times that we need to have in our lives. And I'm telling you that because of these times that we're gonna put into our lives, now we're gonna receive this unshakable faith, and you're going, Dakota, that sounds great. It preaches really good. But it's pretty hard to live. It's one thing to say you're gonna face a storm. It's another thing to face the storm. It's another thing to just talk about wind. It's another thing to really feel the wind. It's one thing to be shaken so much that you want to give up. And it's another thing to know that you have an unshakable faith. How do we truly attain that? Is it because of acts? Is it something that I have to do to accomplish this? No, it's because of the unshakable God that you serve. If we attach ourselves, even though me and you, we might be able to be shaked, but he's not. And if we attach our lives to him, we will see that no matter the storm, it will never shake the purpose out of you. Some of you are walking through real things right now and you're saying, Dakota, I don't know how I can get through this. How do I have this unshakable faith? I believe that when you have the unshakable faith, God will give you a peace that's unexplainable and a strength that is unattainable. I don't believe that it's because of us. I believe that it's because of him. And we've been talking about the things that he gives us, but my friends, he's given us all that we need. So what do we need to do? We need to stop and we need to trust him. And we need to make time to seek his face. We need to make time to serve those around us. We need to make time to sow so that we can reap all that he has for our lives. You're called to live with a faith that's unshakable, so that when the world is shaken, so that when the world doesn't know what to do, they know who to look to, and that's you, and that's me. They can look to the unshakable kingdom and say, that's what I wanna be a part of. If you believe that, I want you to stand up on your feet right now. I wanna pray for you. We're gonna sing one more time, but before we get out of here, I just wanna make sure we make some space for some people in this room that might be going through some storms, that might be going through some things that are trying to shake the purpose out of them. So if you will, just bow your heads. Man, if you're going through something right now, you're saying, Dakota, I'm going through a storm. I'm feeling the wind. I'm feeling the urge to give up. But I need God to give me that unshakable faith. I want to be a part of his unshakable kingdom. I want to feel that peace that's unexplainable. I want to feel that strength that's unattainable. I want to be attached to him. If that's you, will you just lift your hand up right now in this room? You say, I'm going through some things and I need him. I want to live a life that's not able to be shaken. My hands going up all over this room. Lord, right now we pray for each and every person. Come on, you can pray with me that has their hands lifted up. God, we pray right now that we never come into this place thinking it's some type of service or program, but God, right now you are here. And when you are here, everything can change for us. Right now, we focus on your presence. We focus on your word that tells us we will inherit an unshakable kingdom. God, I pray for a peace that goes beyond all understanding. Come on the people in this room. God, I pray for a new strength. God, I pray for a new joy. God, I pray that you reveal more of yourself to us. God, I pray that your mercies will be known to us. And because of that, we can live a life that you have called us to live. We love you, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Come on, if you believe that, will you put your hands together? Come on, let's sing it out with all we got right now. Come on, let's sing it.
Well, thanks again for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for past episodes. And if you like what you're hearing, consider rating it and even sharing it with friends. It helps so much. For more content from VU and to connect with us, go to VUchurch.com. We love you. The best is yet to come.